That back corner is kind of chatty. Steve, you don't look shocked. Well, let's pray. Father God, we gather this morning to celebrate, to remember, to trust, to look to Jesus, Lord. We were walking in darkness, and you sent Jesus, light of the world, not because we were good or had proven ourselves or had passed some tests, but because you love us, because you are so gracious, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Father, that you always do what you say, that you are faithful to your word, to your name, to your covenant, to your people. I pray this morning, O Lord God, as we look to your scriptures again, that you would affirm within us the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior, come to die on a cross, so that all who place their faith in him will be saved. Help us, O Lord, this morning to trust you, whether for the first time or renewed in the midst of doubt, or strengthened in the midst of worship, that you would receive all glory due your name, and that we, your people, would be strengthened and encouraged. We pray this all in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Dr. Darrell Bach is a professor of New Testament at Dallas Theological Seminary. And he says of the passage we'll be looking at this morning, it's often said that good things come in small packages. Well, this passage adds a twist to that theme. For the announcement of Jesus' birth shows that wonderful things come in surprising packages. God does not always do things the way we would do them. God does not always do things the way we would do them. Were we going to give birth to a Savior, to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we probably would have had him come in a palace and be born to kings and princes and have the whole world be able to see it and celebrate it, that all the high and mighty would know. Kind of like John the Baptist's birth was. But God surprises us. He has his Son born in a place that's out of the way, lowly, in a manger, to peasants, visited by shepherds instead of kings, though the kings do come later, not ones from his own nation. God's ways are surprising. But God is always faithful to his word. This morning, I want to look at one of the passages that was read during the wonderful lessons and carols this morning. And that's Luke chapter 1. If you would turn there, please. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Now, since Maylin read this passage, I will not read it again. We want to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, where the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and foretells the birth of Jesus, the birth of the Savior, in most remarkable, surprising ways. God demonstrating that nothing is impossible with Him. Nothing is impossible with God. Even a virgin giving birth to the Son of God. In this passage, in the first few verses, verses 26 through 28, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary. And we learn a number of things here. First of all, they're in the town of Nazareth, which is going to be up in Galilee. So it's about 50, 60 miles away from Jerusalem. It's out of the way. It's not where the powerhouse resides, either political or economic or religious power. It's out of the way, this little town of Nazareth, such that others remark later, has anything good ever come out of Nazareth? It comes to Mary, who is betrothed to Joseph. Now, the way that marriage would work amongst the Jewish people back then is that there would be an engagement that would happen, but the engagement was binding. It was legally binding, and you would even call each other husband and wife. But that period would usually last about a year, after which time you would come together in a home. You would come together, consummate the marriage, and be together then. So it was really a betrothal, like we think about an engagement, and yet it was legally binding at that time too. So so Mary and Joseph had been betrothed, but they haven't yet come to live together, to dwell together, and have their final marriage ceremony. And the angel Gabriel comes to her and tells her that she's going to have a baby. Now, Gabriel is an angel that we've met a couple other times in the Scriptures. We met him earlier in chapter 1 of the book of Luke, is that he is the same angel who appears to Zechariah to tell Zechariah, your wife, who is barren, your wife is going to have a child also. And in fact, the two sharing of the prophecy of birth between Gabriel telling Zechariah and Gabriel telling Mary, they're really they're parallel. They're to be seen side by side with each other to see the similarities and then also to see the differences, which we'll get to in just a moment. So Gabriel has already appeared in the book of Luke. This is the angel that God sends to tell Zechariah, you're going to have a baby, which is impossible because his wife is barren. And now, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, you're going to have a baby, which is impossible because she's a virgin. The other place that we see the angel Gabriel show up is in two different chapters in the book of Daniel, chapter 8 and chapter 9. The angel Gabriel appears to Daniel after Daniel has these visions, and the angel Gabriel helps Daniel to interpret the visions that he has there. Just interesting that he's the same angel. And the visions that the angel Gabriel is interpreting for Daniel have to do with the end times when God will send the Messiah. So it's like he's got Messiah announcing duty. That's like his role. He goes around announcing the Messiah. Maybe not quite accurate, but he does that in Daniel, he does that with Zechariah, and now he's doing that with Mary. What's also very different in the announcement to Mary of the upcoming birth of Jesus compared to how John the Baptist's birth was announced is things are quite calm here. Things are very quiet. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary when she's alone. When the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah, the priest, he was alone inside the Holy of Holies, yes, but all the people were gathered around, so that when he came out and couldn't speak, which we'll talk about a little bit in a second, everybody was gathered there waiting for him to come out, watching for him. He was in the midst of a crowd. the announcement of the birth of the Savior, Son of God, is very quiet. He comes to Mary and says that Gabriel declares that you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now, also calling out Joseph, he mentions one other piece of information about Joseph. Again, still in these first three verses here. He says Joseph is a descendant of David. Now, that's really important. I'm sure you can trace both Mary and Joseph's lineage back to David because of prophecy. Right? I know we quote this chapter or refer to this chapter a lot. Can anyone recall in the Old Testament the one referring to the Messiah will come from the line of David? There's a few, but the second Samuel 7. Good. You're in the area. 2 Samuel 7. Right? Where David is living in a palace and he looks out his window and he sees that God's ark is in a tent and he says, this is ridiculous. I'm in a palace. God is living in a tent. And he goes to the prophet Nathan and said, tell God I want to build him a house. And God comes back to him and says, that's nice, David. Thanks so much, but you don't need to build me a house. In fact, I will build you a house. Not a physical house. A line. And then he declares, you will never fail to have a descendant, one of your descendants on the throne of Israel. And your descendant will rule on the throne forever. Forever. Prophesying the coming of the Messiah would be from the line of David and would rule on God's throne over God's people forever. And that's part of what Luke, through the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit through Luke, is calling our attention to right here. Oh, so the angel appears to this woman who's Mary. We don't. What do you mean? Who's this person? Joseph? Oh, a descendant of David. Oh, that makes things very, very different. In the next section of our passage, in verses 29 through 33. Gabriel tells of Jesus' coming. He shows up and says, greetings, most favored, the Lord is with you, to Mary. And she's very troubled by this. She's greatly troubled by this. Yes, I imagine so. You'd be greatly troubled to have an angel appear and show up to you this way. The angel told her, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. Now, that idea of favor there is not merit. It's not earned. Mary, throughout this whole passage, is shown in such positive, beautiful light. She's humble. She believes the Word of God. She trusts God. Even when it's going to be so hard for her personally, she follows the Lord. She worships God. But it's not because of those things why God said, oh, she's such a good, good person. She is worthy to give birth to my son. Most favored here is God's grace. Like for any of us who are saved, it's not because we're so special and so good and that we're smarter than someone who doesn't believe, or we're holier than someone who doesn't believe. It's by God's free gift, by His grace, that He comes to Mary and says, you are the one who will give birth to a child, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He is the one who will save His people. And then he describes what Jesus will be like. Jesus will be great. But more than great, He will be called the Son of the Most High. Now, that language, Son of the Most High, Son of the Most High God, actually, throughout the Old Testament, would have had the people thinking about Him being a human. It seems backward. He's like, if you're going to say that someone's the Son of God, that means they're divine, they're God. But actually, the title, Son of God, Son of the Most High God, refers more to the humanity of Jesus, and actually the kingship of Jesus. The people of Israel were called sons of God. And the king was the Son of God, the Son of the Most High God. So hearing this language from the angel Gabriel describing who Jesus is would get people in the mind, get Mary, and then eventually others, thinking about, oh, Jesus is going to be a king. Kings aren't born from people living in Nazareth, are they? Yes, when Jesus is born, he is. When God comes and his king comes, yes. Born of a peasant in an obscure place in Nazareth. The title Son of Man, which Jesus often, the most common title he uses for himself, that actually refers to his divinity. It's kind of backwards. Son of God shows that Jesus is human, because that's the title that Israel gets, and Jesus is true Israel, the ultimate Israelite. Son of Man refers back, you know, we've talked about this before, Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, where just one like a son of man is God himself. So the titles are actually backwards. So the people will be thinking about Jesus, the one to be born to Mary, is going to be a king. And in fact, he is. He is the king of kings. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Referring again to 2 Samuel chapter 7. This is the one you've been waiting for. This isn't just another king. This isn't just some, you know, long lost king. No. Jesus will reign forever. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, your God, your King, your Savior reigns forever. All of history, past and future, is in his hands. Rest in your Savior, in your King, knowing that he is the one who reigns. Not politics, not economics, not anything else, not diseases. Your King Jesus reigns forever. Well, that is where Gabriel tells that Jesus is coming and who he is. But then Gabriel goes on in verses 34 to 37 to describe how Jesus will come. So Gabriel shows up to Mary, says, you're going to have a baby. I can't help but think of the video that we watched a couple weeks ago of the little kids. You're going to have a baby, right? I was so, I love that. Anyway, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, you're going to have a baby, and he's going to be the King of Kings. He's going to be the promised Savior. Now, let's think back for a second. And we haven't read it this morning, but when the angel Gabriel showed up to Zechariah and said, your wife who's barren is going to give birth to a son. Do you remember Zechariah's response at all? Verse 18 of chapter 1, book of Luke, he says, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. Angel showed up from God, giving the word of God to Zechariah, the high priest, who's in the middle of Holy of Holies, offering the once a year sacrifice. Angel speaks to him, and his reply is, how can I be sure? How do I know what you're saying is true? And it's that response that causes the angel to have him lose his speech until the child is born. Well, how does Mary reply at this unbelievable proclamation that you, though you are a virgin, you will have a child? Verse 34, she says, how will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. Those are different responses. One is saying, I don't believe you. The other is saying, this is fantastical. Can you let me know how it's going to happen? Because I believe you. And those responses make all the difference. Again, as these stories are paralleled to each other, we're meant to see, oh, something's a little bit different here. And see Mary's response, faithful Mary. Well, the angel Gabriel then describes how this will happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then he really summarizes it in verse 27. How will this be? How will it happen? How is it possible for a virgin to give birth, not just to a baby, but to the Son of God, to the Messiah, to the King of Kings, to God Himself? How will this be? Verse 37. Nothing is impossible with God. God has said it. It is true. Nothing is impossible with God. Mary, hearing this, closes our passage this morning in verse 38, where she humbly submits to God. Now, we imagine that she was probably a teenager. We don't know. It doesn't state at all how old she is. It would have, not been unusual in the custom of the day for young middle teenager to be betrothed. Not necessarily, but it's possible. Regardless of her age, I cannot imagine. If you got this message, when you start rolling forward going, how am I going to tell Joseph? How am I going to tell my folks? What are people going to think? Oh, really? The Holy Spirit, huh? Uh-huh. Yeah, that's how it happened. Sure, yeah. Start imagining the troubles that are before her, right? That's not her response at all. She's not still, doesn't say, oh, please, would you choose someone else? Please? Thank you so much, but no thanks. She doesn't break down crying, at least not recorded, Her response is, again, here we see the beautiful faithfulness of this woman. Her faithfulness to God, her Lord. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. This beautiful, humble submission to God. She can't have understood what it meant. She can't have understood what's going to happen, how it's going to be. Even though the angel said the Holy Spirit will come upon you, she can't say, oh, that way? Yeah, no, I got that. I know that way. I studied that in biology. I understand now. No, she doesn't understand what's going to happen. But there is a peace about her here. There is a, as the Lord says, I don't understand how it's going to happen, but nothing is impossible with God. Life is really hard. I don't know how we're going to get through the day, but nothing is impossible with God. God has said Jesus is coming back again, but boy, it's been a really, really long time, but nothing is impossible with God. My family members, my neighbors, my friends, I've been praying for them for years and years and years, and they still do not follow Christ. They don't trust Christ. Nothing is impossible with God. God is always faithful. And there's so many times in life when we will not understand what He is doing. We will not understand why He's choosing things to unfold in our lives and the lives of those around us in certain ways, ways that we would never choose. There are so many times when we do not understand why it seems that God is His name, to His word, to His people. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God is faithful even when we are not. With that, we should fade out. That's like a great like end music right there. Don't be. It's great. That's wonderful. Sounds like a radio show or something. If you call now in the next 10 minutes, we have a book offer for you for a donation of any amount. Because it is true, the baby who was born was not just a child. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a smart person. He wasn't just a political figure. Jesus was, is, and always will be the King of Kings. We remember and celebrate and think of and dwell on, and I pray worship Jesus, who is the King of Kings. Let's pray. Jesus, we believe. Help us with our unbelief. In this season, Lord, where we celebrate Your coming, we ask You, O Lord God, to come again. We trust You, not because we understand all the nuances, not because we can put all the pieces together in a mathematical formula. We trust You not by blind faith because our parents told us so. We trust Your word, O God, for You are always faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.